Discipleship is a journey, step by step, one decision at a time. It's not always fast, and it's rarely easy. But every step draws us closer to Yeshua, closer to who He's calling us to be. We don't climb alone. We follow in His footsteps, and we walk with others, because growth happens in motion. And motion starts with just one step.
Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to our program. This is an episode in a continuing series that we've been talking about with the idea of talking about from believer to disciple to bondservant. We've been using one particular illustration. It's called the wheel illustration. This illustration's been around a long time in the faith, and many organizations have used it to teach discipleship. Just to quickly review, it has God in the center. That's where your faith begins. And if you're a believer, that's what you've done. You put God into the center of your life. From that, you're supposed to be walking forward with the Lord. To become a disciple in the Lord, you have to develop some skills. In this case, four spokes of the wheel: a relationship in prayer with God, a relationship with the Word of God, learning the Scriptures, a relationship with other believers, fellowshipping with them, and a relationship with unbelievers as you share your faith with others. The final element of the wheel is the rim of the wheel, which we call the commandments or obeying the Lord. And in this episode, we have completed the center, the spokes. We're going to be talking about the rim of the wheel. And how do we do that? What we're talking about is, how do you transition from being a disciple of the Lord to becoming a bondservant of the Lord? If you'll recall, all of the apostles at the start of their letters would start off with things like, Paul, a bondservant of Yeshua of Nazareth, called an apostle. He actually preferred the title of being a bondservant, as did the other apostles. Jude does this, Peter does this, John does this. All of the apostles wanted to be known as bondservants. You don't hear that expression very often within Christian circles. You do hear people talking about becoming believers and accepting the Lord to receive salvation, and you hear occasionally in certain Sunday school classes and certain efforts of education about becoming a disciple, and we talk about doing discipleship studies. But this one goes all the way through to what is called a bondservant. And so we're at the point where we're talking about the rim of the wheel. If you'll allow me to use this expression, this is where the rubber hits the road in terms of our faith. This is where it becomes, your faith becomes reality in your life and how you live in the world. I have several scriptures I want to take you to that shows the importance of this. And quite honestly, we need to talk about why, before we talk about how do we do it, why is it that we don't achieve this and why is it it's not taught? Let me take you to 1 John chapter 2 first, beginning at verse 3. This is where the Apostle John says the following: By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever follows his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says that he remains in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. If I can use this illustration, basically what John is saying is, if you claim that you have this in your life and you believe that you know God and God is part of your life, and until you get this rim going, until you start obeying the Lord, that's how you prove that you know him. That's how you prove that you have a relationship with him. We have lots of people who do go and profess that they know the Lord. Some will even profess that they are disciples of the Lord and they've done Bible study and they can pray and they're attending fellowship and maybe even soul winning, even leading people to the Lord. But if you're going to get to this level here and what John is talking about, your testimony has to be one of that you also obey the Lord. Now, a lot of people, a lot of great Christian people would say, oh, yes, I obey the Lord. But on closer examination, when you match them against the commandments that God gave, that's where there's great question comes into place. Where in the Bible are the commandments of the Lord? They're not in the New Testament. That's the testimony of Yeshua. They're not in the prophets or in the book of Psalms or the historical books. The commandments of God are in the first five books. That's where God sat down with a group of people, the children of Israel, and said, if you're going to be my people and I'm going to be your God, then these are the commandments that I'm commanding you. This is how you'll be my people. This is how you will worship me. This is what I expect from you to be my people, and I will be your God. So if we're going to have this relationship with the God of the Bible, the God of creation, the God of Israel, then we're going to have to follow his instruction as to what he said were the commandments. And this is where it gets to be a little bit of a rub for a lot of people. Because a lot of Christian teachers will tell you, well, those commandments that were given back there in the law of Moses, those don't really apply to us. That was for the Jewish people. Those are things for them. But we Christians, you see, we have the grace of God, and we don't have to do those kinds of things. I beg to differ with you. Not only did Moses teach differently than that and what he said would be in the future, but Yeshua himself took issue with that. I want to take you to a very famous passage of Scripture. I'm sure you're familiar with it. This is the Messiah, and he's in Matthew chapter 5. And here's what he says about this subject, about commandments and the law of Moses. Matthew 5:17. Do not presume that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, unless heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke of letter shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Let's go back and examine his words just a little bit more. He says, do not even think or presume that I came to abolish the law and the prophets. You know what? And when I was in the Christian faith, that's exactly what I was taught. My Christian teachers taught me that we have the New Testament now. We don't go back to the Old Testament. We don't worry about the law of Moses. In fact, they never even encouraged me to read it other than a Bible reading program. Oh, I read the Bible. No, they did not look at the law of Moses as it having any value whatsoever to teach me how to be discipled and or become a bondservant. So since we're talking about being a bondservant, did you know that the law of the bondservant is part of the law of Moses? That was part of the reason why we don't hear it being taught, because it's a teaching that comes from the law of Moses. In fact, it's the first commandment that is taught by Moses right after the Ten Commandments. Isn't that interesting? God gives the Ten Commandments, and then the very next commandment he teaches to Moses to teach the people is the law of the bondservant. The law of the bondservant basically is this. Let's say that you have a man who is in servitude to a master, and he completes his servitude. He's set free. But he likes being in the master's house. He likes the things that are in the master's house. And he's come to love the master. He has a relationship with the master. He wants to remain with him. So what he has to do is he has to go down with the master, and he has to make public testimony that he loves his master. He loves his wife and children. For the reason of love, he will no longer go out as a free man. Not because he's forced to do it, but because inside of his heart, he desires that relationship with the master and to be part of his house. And then he becomes a servant to that master for the remainder of his life. He's called a bond servant. He's serving because of love. God instructs us that the greatest commandment that we have to keep, and if we're going to go around saying that we're keeping the commandments of the Lord, because we're disciples of the Lord and we're believers of the Lord, the greatest commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. Now, if we're going to keep that commandment, it naturally leads you to the law of the bondservant. It leads you to the point where even though God has set you free from your sins and the penalties of sin, of death, passed you from death to life, that he's given you life more abundantly, that you don't go out and do that on your own and go willy-nilly do whatever you want to do. No, instead you translate that into service to God. And you do so because you love God. So when you see the commandments, you don't see them as things, oh, I'm forced to do these things. If you were a slave and you're not set free and you don't love the master, well, then yes, you see them as commandments, oh, I'm forced to do them. But if you're doing it out of the reason of love and you love the master and that's the reason why you want to obey, then those commandments are opportunities for you to build your relationship with the master. That's what the bondservant is about. That's what the rim of this wheel is about. It's about that I'm not going to keep these commandments because I'm required to keep them. I'm going to keep these commandments because God loves me and I love God and want to show to him that I do. Many teachers will tell you that the expression that the Messiah came to fulfill the commandments and essentially brings them somehow to some kind of conclusion. That is not true. That is not what the word fulfill means. And in fact, the very next sentence, Yeshua specifically says that you're not to regard that word as meaning the end of anything. In fact, he goes on to specifically say that heaven and earth has to pass away before any of the law passes away. And he goes on to say that nothing of the law will go away, not even the least commandments. In fact, he goes on to say that if anyone teaches you to annul the least of these commandments, he will be least in the kingdom of heaven. He says that he who will be great in the kingdom of heaven is the one who will keep the commandments and teach others also. I'm coming to you with the testimony that I believe that Yeshua of Nazareth is the Messiah and that he's the Passover lamb and we have redemption of forgiveness of sin. We're passed from death to life and we receive the gift of eternal life by believing in him and that he's God's son that was sent by the Father. And I've also received the Holy Spirit, the work of regeneration, and that God is the center of my life. I'm also testifying to you that I too have built these spokes in my life. I have learned what God has said. I pray, I am in fellowship with others, and I lead others to know about the Lord as well. But I was also telling you here that I also have built the rim of this wheel, and I found out what the commandments are, and the commandments are not grievous, and yes, you can keep them, and there's nothing stopping you from it, except for teachers who would try to tell you not to obey the Lord. Let me say it very simply to you. You cannot become the bondservant of Yeshua if you continue to listen to teachers that tell you not to follow some of the commandments of the Lord. I want to take you back to when God actually spoke the Ten Commandments, because we need to look at the structure of the commandments that a lot of Christians don't know about. Exodus chapter 20 is the Ten Commandments that are given to us. I'm sure you're familiar with them, but I want to repeat some of these to you. First of all, God begins with, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Whether you realize it or not, but that is the first commandment. You see, the first commandment is believe in me. Believe in the God that specifically brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. That particular God, the God of Israel, the God of Moses, the idea that, well, we just believe in God or acknowledge there's a supreme being is not believing in God. God specifically specifies who he is, and he says, I want you to believe in me, he says. And then he goes on to say, I don't want you to put any other gods up in front of me. In fact, in Exodus 20 and verse 4, it continues on to say the following. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters under the earth. You shall not worship them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, inflicting the punishment of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing favor to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Did you know that Yeshua repeated that phrase, if you love me, keep my commandments? If you love God, you will keep all these commandments, not some of them. You do understand that if you have a wheel and you only have parts of the rim and you don't have a full wheel here of all the commandments, you have a few commandments here and some over there, that wheel is not going to work. That wheel cannot bear the load. And that's the reason why we have many Christians who never reach the status of being a bondservant of the Lord. And quite honestly, sometimes their faith just does not work. God goes on to continue to give these other commandments. Let me give you an example of it. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. That's not just about, oh, you can't speak in a profane manner. You know, that is part of a commandment as well. But what he's really talking about there is taking his name in vain is when you say that you believe in him and you cite his name, but you don't do what he says. When you don't do what he says, you basically are saying, no, you're God, he's not really God. I don't have to do what he says, even though I said he was God. That's taking his name in vain. That's transgressing his commandments. He's pretty emphatic about he wants to be treated as God. I'm not going to tolerate any other gods with me. I don't want any competition for who is God. And including, he doesn't want competition from you. If you're going to say you believe in him and that you love him, then you're going to do what he says. There can be no other way for you to have this wheel intact. Now we get to the next one because this gets interesting. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. It says you shall not do any work on that day. But let's look at the Christian world, the bulk of the Christian world. What did they do? They rest and they worship God on the first day of the week. What do they do on the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week? Whatever they want. Why aren't they keeping the commandment that God specified? Well, if you listen to some of their excuses, well, that was for the Jews. We're Christians. That's not for us. Excuse me, let me repeat to you what he said. See, this is go back and see what the commandment says. He said, remember to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath was not established at Mount Sinai. The Sabbath was established at the creation. You know, he worked 6 days and he rested on the seventh. He blessed it. He sanctified it separate as a separate day. And if you're going to recognize that he's the creator God, you're going to recognize the day he said, remember to keep it holy. Remember the way I set it up. A person who truly is a believer of God and believer in the creator God, you're going to keep that commandment. You're going to observe that commandment, and you're not going to be playing religious theology games. Oh, well, that's what Israel, that's what the Jews do. You see, I'm not Jewish, so I'm not going to be doing that. Nonsense. You need to go back and listen to what the Lord said and stop listening to men who try to tell you what the Lord said. Just listen to what he said. He said, I'm the creator. I sanctified that day of creation. Remember to do it. And he was telling Moses and the children of Israel, remember what I did? Do that. It wasn't a new commandment at that point. It was a very old commandment. Now, he goes on to then give other commandments that has to do with our behavior with other people. I don't want you killing each other. I don't want you committing adultery. I don't want you to steal. I don't want you to lie to your neighbor. I don't want you coveting your neighbor's things. By the way, when you covet things, you do something from the heart, and that's what leads you into murder, thievery, lying, and adultery, is because of something in your heart. See, it turns out the law teaches us that you obey with the heart, you disobey with the heart. So God is trying to get you to understand that you, if you're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might, it automatically is you're going to obey him. You're going to obey from the heart. For all of the theological arguments that can be put forth by the Christians, the bottom line is they're teaching you, do what we say, but don't learn to obey God from the heart. Just do what we say. Well, that's what religious men do. But that's not what God taught. That's not what the Messiah taught. That's certainly not what Moses taught. So let's step back for a moment and let's do a little self-examination about all these commandments that we have to do. Oh my gosh, we got so many commandments. How in the world are we going to be able to keep them all? By the way, if you follow a Torah teacher, he'll tell you there's 613 commandments in the law. And everybody goes around complaining, oh, it's grievous, we can't possibly do it, and so forth. Let me give you a simple answer on that. How can you possibly keep all the commandments? Well, it's real simple. You just do them one at a time. You don't have to keep all 613 at the exact same moment. Just keep one at a time. The other is, let's examine the structure what God set up here. As I've shared with you in the illustration of the wheel, that this vertical set of spokes teaches you how to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and might. This set of spokes over there teaches you how to love your neighbors yourself. Those are the two greatest commandments. Those are the connection to all the other commandments. So from the love of God originating from here out through those spokes, that's how you get to the rim of the wheel and to the other commandments and for it. Every commandment that God gives has three parts. There is an objective, there is a standard, and there is a condition. And you have to satisfy all three of those elements before it becomes applicable for you. So the objective is, let's just take an example here. The objective is the Sabbath, okay? Now, the Sabbath is that it's given to all of us, all of mankind, all right? So we all have the commandment of Sabbath. So what's the standard for it? Well, he wants us to cease from our labors and rest on the Sabbath day and to remember and keep it as a separate day from the other days of the week. Well, wait a minute. You see, I'm a policeman, I'm a fireman, I'm a doctor, I'm a nurse, and I'm part of the life of the community. I'm part of emergency services, first responders. I'm there for the life of the people. Did you know that the law specifies that you live by these commandments? And therefore, if you're in one of those positions, that you set aside the commandment because you're already fulfilling the intent of the commandment by performing your duties. So it turns out, when a policeman is serving as a policeman on Sabbath day, he's keeping Sabbath for a policeman. When a fireman is on duty during Sabbath day, he's fulfilling the Sabbath for his duties as a fireman. That's his standard. Now, that's not the standard for me because I'm not a policeman and I'm not a fireman, so I have a different standard. Mine is to cease from my weekly work and rest on the Sabbath, and I usually relax on that day, and I go to congregation and join with my other brethren in fellowship, and we study the Torah together, and I enjoy the fellowship of the brethren. That's how I don't do that every day, but on Sabbath, that's what I enjoy, and because I'm part of the life of the community and so forth. You see how that standard is slightly different for different people? Plus, there's also different conditions. What if What if I'm ill and I don't feel well and I can't leave home? Does that mean I'm going to do my standard thing on Sabbath and go to congregation? No, I'm going to stay home and try to get well. You see, the commandment is about living. You shall live by these commandments. And so I need to get well. And if that requires a Sabbath today to get well or be in the hospital and heal and so forth, then that's my responsibility to the Sabbath, is to be able to do that. Now, I can't go through in this program all the different commandments that there are in the Torah for you, but I can tell you this, that every commandment has an objective, it has a standard, and it has a condition. And depending on your station of life and depending on where you're at, the commandments are applicable. One of the things that you'll learn about the 613 commandments of the Lord is some of them are just for men. So if you're a woman, you don't have to worry about the commandments that specifically are for men, and vice versa. There's some specific commandments for women, and those commandments men don't necessarily keep, but they need to be aware of them so as to why their wives will be keeping them and so forth. There's different commandments for the priests. If you're not a priest of Israel, not one of the Kohen, you don't have to worry about that commandment. You don't have to worry about the instructions that have been given to them. But if you are, then you need to keep that. You know what it all comes down to? It basically comes down to this. Everybody is required to keep at least the 10. The 10 apply to everybody. Now, there's some other commandments, depending on your situation, that will spill down and may apply to you. This is not a complicated thing to learn. I would submit to you that if you're a citizen of the United States of America, that you probably have heard about an overarching supreme law that we have in this country called the Constitution. And the Constitution applies to every citizen of the country. It has laws that specifically specify how our government will be structured, what the term and duties of the president or a senator or a congressman are, what the Supreme Court does, how they're to conduct their business, how they get elected, how they can be recalled. And then we have a set of amendments that are certain things guaranteed to all of us. For example, the freedom of speech, the freedom to worship, freedom of religion, and so forth. All of these laws apply to all of us, no matter who you are, male, female, aged, young, it doesn't make any difference. This is the supreme law of the land. However, I also, within this country, I live, in this particular case, I live in the state of Oklahoma. And the state of Oklahoma has built a series of laws for them. They're called statutes. Statutes are for states. And in Oklahoma, we have certain laws here that aren't the same laws that are in other states. And as long as I'm living in Oklahoma and I'm in this jurisdiction of where this is at, those other statutes and laws apply to me just as much as the Constitution does. Now, I also, within the state of Oklahoma, I live inside of a city. And in my particular case, I live in a city where it's called Norman, Oklahoma. Maybe you've heard of it. It's where the University of Oklahoma is at. And there's a nice community here of lots of nice folks. And by the way, in the city of Norman, they have gone together and they have formed city ordinances. We have specifically laws that are inside the city, like speed limit laws, traffic laws, and so forth, and other laws that are applicable to when you're in the city. Now, if you're not in the city of Norman, those city ordinances don't apply. So it turns out that while I'm being a lawful person, I have agreed, depending on where I'm at, my station of life, what is the conditions where I'm at, a whole bunch of laws apply to me, or if I'm not in that jurisdiction, then the law doesn't apply to me. It doesn't mean the law doesn't exist, but it doesn't apply to me. For example, those nice folks that live down in Texas, they have their own set of laws down there, but I live in Oklahoma. I could care less what the law is down there in Texas because I don't live down there. But if I journey down there and I go into that state in one of those cities there, I am subject to those laws that are there. If you're going to decide that you want to follow the Lord God, the God of Israel, He has a set of laws that He has specified. If you're going to be a believer of me and you're going to be part of my house and part of my kingdom, here's my set of laws. I've seen people from Texas come up here to Oklahoma and say, I don't have to keep your laws. I'm from Texas. It will not carry with the judge here. You are subject to the law here, whether you want to or not. And when I go down there, I'm subject to the law down there as well. Now, when I get to the kingdom of God, I'm subject to His commandments, His ordinances, and His statutes. Did you know that the Bible uses the same language? After He gives the Ten Commandments, all right, which are for everyone, guess what the very next words are in Exodus 21 when it comes to the law of the bondservant? Now, these are the ordinances which you are to set before them. He actually uses the term ordinance. You see, an ordinance applies at a very specific level depending on whether you're in its jurisdiction. If you're a believer and you have not become a disciple yet, the law of the bondservant doesn't apply to you. The law of the bondservant only applies to you after you become a disciple. So discipleship is what actually enables you and puts you in the position where you're now subject to the law of the bondservant. Because of the sheer nature of my own ignorance, my inabilities, and so forth, I'm not subject to the traffic laws if I'm not in a car with a driver's license driving around. And by the way, little children here in my state, they're not subject to the traffic laws either, because they're not operating a vehicle and so forth. But once they get to the age that they're now getting a driver's license and to the age of operating a vehicle, guess what? Immediately, they are subject to the traffic laws. The moment they get that license and the moment they climb into that car, they are subject to the city ordinances and state statutes with regard to traffic laws. They can't go around saying, hey, I didn't used to be applicable to that. That didn't apply to me. Well, it does. And by the way, as you become a believer, you are subject to certain commandments. As you become a disciple, you're subject to some other commandments. This business of where, well, I have the grace of God, therefore I don't have to be a part of that, that is not the teaching that is in the Bible. That is not the teaching of Moses. And it certainly is not the teaching of the Messiah. Since we're dealing with a lot of Christians and so forth, let's talk about what the Messiah said about some of this that we just mentioned. If I continue to take you to Matthew chapter 5, after He talked about don't think that I came to abolish the law and the prophets, He then gave some detailed teaching about the law of Moses. He taught specifically certain things He wanted the people to understand about the law. Let me take you to verse 23, where He said the following. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there you remember that your brother had something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. I'm sure many of you have heard this before. If you have a gift for the Lord, before you present your gift to the Lord, if you've got issues with your brethren, God says, leave your gift there. You go get that straightened out with your brother before you come and make your gift to me. Now, we understand that He's trying to explain about you're not supposed to be in conflict with your other brethren. We get that. I want you, just for the moment, I want you to listen to Christian teachers who say, well, when Yeshua came, he did away with the whole temple system. We don't have sacrifices anymore. You remember? Have you ever heard them say that? Then why did Yeshua specifically tell us that when you go to present a gift to the altar, this is what you will do? Why have they spiritualized that, turned that into something else? Why is his words not as appropriate and truthful today as they were in the day they were spoken? It's because other religious men have come in and taken away from the words. They're not teaching you what he really said. By the way, I have some shocking news for you, my friends, especially for my Christian brethren. When we get to the kingdom and the Messiah comes back, he's going to rebuild the temple. And he's going to rebuild the altar. And we're going to go to the temple and we're going to worship the Lord. And this commandment about you coming and presenting a gift to the Lord at his altar, at his table, is going to be just as applicable in the kingdom as it was when the day he spoke it. Now, he's taking the commandment of the law, which says this is how you'll bring a sacrifice. And he's explaining how to keep that commandment that Moses gave. And he's alluding to that all the believers in him are going to do that commandment. Now, it is true the temple was destroyed. It is true that Israel was scattered into the nations. But it is not true that God stopped the law of Moses or stopped his commandments. It is true that Israel is being punished, but they're also to be redeemed and they're going to be brought back. And part of the message of the gospel is to go out into all the nations to invite all men to come and be part of God's kingdom. And when he returns, we will be part of that kingdom, and there will be a temple in Jerusalem, and we will worship the Lord in Jerusalem in accordance with his commandments. So why in the world would we stand up and say, well, those commandments are no more? The truth of the matter is, we can't meet the conditions of the commandments at the moment. As long as there's no temple and no Levite priest serving there, I can't keep the commandment. In my heart, I desire to keep it, but I'm unable to keep it. That does not negate the commandment. It may go away. Again, it's about objectives, standards, and conditions. Once the standards and conditions can be met, then I will obey it. At the moment, I can't do it. He goes on to do some additional teaching, and in fact, he homes in on one of the major things we know about the law. Matthew 5:38 says, "You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." And a lot of people, they look at that, that's kind of an epitome of the law, and it talks about fairness and equity and so forth. And what a lot of people don't understand is that God's law amongst us says that we're to treat each other appropriately and fairly and justly. That's what God's law teaches. Do you want God to throw away his commandments and said, no, we shouldn't treat each other fairly? That's what eye for eye and tooth for tooth means. Eye for eye actually means the value that you see, if it's been damaged, I want that value restored. You run into my car, you bend my fender. Well, when you repair it, I want the fender the way I see it, the way it was before. I want to see my fender fixed. That's eye for eye, tooth for tooth. That's what it is, fairness and balance. If you're going to throw the law out and throw out those commandments, then you're saying that we should not treat each other fairly or appropriately or justly. Because the law of Moses is the standard for justice and righteousness. And by the way, the whole rest of the Bible refers to it that way. Again, people who speak against those things are people who are not aware of really what it says. Now, let me bring us to a conclusion of this whole matter. The simple definition of sin in our spiritual lives is called the transgression of the law. The definition of sin is God has made a commandment that we are to obey, and we decided to transgress it. We decided not to do it. Now, there's some other definitions the law also gives. There's iniquity, that's just sheer filthiness. And then there's this idolatry where you just absolutely turn away from the Lord. we're believing that we're a people that are trying to do what the Lord says. Well, if we're trying to do what the Lord says, let's follow His instructions. Let's do it the way He specified and said that He wanted it done. I want to read to you a very clear statement that's written in the law that applies to all of us. Again, this is something how Moses tries to explain all these commandments. In Numbers chapter 15 and verse 15, it says this, "As for the whole assembly, all of us, there shall be one statute for you and for the stranger who resides among you, a permanent statute throughout your generations. As you are, so the stranger will be before the Lord. There is to be one law and one ordinance for you and for the stranger who resides with you. Anyone who comes up to you and says that the law of Moses is for the Jews, those commandments are for the Jews, not for us Gentiles, not for us Christians, only for those Jews, is a liar." The Bible does not say that. The Bible clearly says that every statute, every ordinance, every commandment of God is for every person. And it is not the exclusive property of Israel or the Jewish people or any other people for that matter. All these commandments apply to any person who believes in the God of creation, the God of Israel. In Acts chapter 15, we had a huge discussion in the New Testament after the Messiah's resurrection. Paul went out and began to share the gospel with a lot of Gentiles. A lot of Gentiles became believers, and within the Jewish believers, because of what they had been told wrongly by the Pharisees and Sadducees, which was contrary to what Yeshua had taught, they said, well, these Gentiles have to do it differently from us. And they had a big meeting about that. And they found out that's not true. That the Gentiles come into the faith by faith, just like we Jews do, just like all of Israel does. There's to be no distinction between Jew and Gentile. There is no distinction between and amongst believers. So when you become a believer and you trust God and you become a disciple of God, it doesn't make any difference whether you're Jew or Gentile. That's gone away. The same is true of being a bondservant. You don't become a bondservant because you're a Jewish believer, and Gentiles don't do that. Everybody is called to the same commandment. And the way this whole thing is concluded, and this is the way I want to conclude this whole teaching of the wheel. You want to learn about this wheel? You want to learn how to keep the wheel and build this into your life? Well, you all know that you should listen to what the Bible has to say. You know you have to build a relationship with it. But let me give you the punchline that the apostle James gave. When the subject came up, what are we going to do with these Gentiles that are coming to faith? In Acts 15 and verse 21, here's what he said. "For from ancient generations, Moses has to those who preach him in every city, since he's read in the synagogues every Sabbath." If you want to learn the commandments of the Lord, you're going to have to go somewhere where Moses is taught on a Sabbath in assembly where they follow the God of Israel. Now, you're not going to learn about the law of Moses in a church. They keep Sunday, and they teach the New Testament, and they are going to tell you, don't follow the commandments of the Lord. They're going to have a little bit of a problem dealing with the Messiah when he comes back, when he says, why didn't you teach what I told you to teach? And they're going to say, well, my teacher didn't tell me that, and so forth. That's not going to carry the day with them very well. You have now heard, my friends. I want to see you discipled in the faith. I want you to see you get God in the center of your life and empower your life. I want you to build those spokes of the wheel. I want you to have a relationship with God through His Word, through prayer. I want you to be in fellowship with other believers. Build those strong spokes. Be able to share your faith with others. But I want you to go further. I want you to make the wheel work by building a rim of you obeying the Lord one step at a time, one commandment at a time, just like the wheel. as it rolls, there's only one point on the wheel that hits the road, but it keeps rolling and it keeps rolling down the road. And you do that, you continue the walk of faith one step at a time, the wheel turns one revolution at a time, and you learn how to obey the Lord and walk out your faith. This is our teaching on how you go from believer to disciple to bondservant. I encourage you all, brethren, to be about learning the faith and walking out your faith faithfully and successfully before the Lord. Shalom to all of you.